Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/geekcastradio. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
In a world of power and mystery, a child is discovered by a queen.
Come, Ramesses. We will show Pharaoh your new baby brother, Moses.
And raised in the family of a mighty dynasty.
Second born, second place.
Not for long.
They were the sons of a king. One was born to rule.
I bear the weight of my father's crown.
The other was chosen to lead.
You are not a prince of Egypt.
What did you say?
Ask the man that you call father.
Can't stay here any longer.
Moses!
No! All I've ever known to be true is a lie.
Let go of your contempt for life before it destroys everything you hold dear.
I will not be the weak link.
Soldiers! They're coming!
There shall be a great cry in all of Egypt, such as never has been or ever will be again.
Ramesses! Let my people go!
Discover the mystery. Experience the majesty. Believe in miracles. Feel the power of the greatest adventure of all time. The Prince of Egypt.
Hello and welcome to the 51st episode of Tooncast Beyond, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network and Audible.com. I am your host, the fucking great one, Mike, and today I am joined by the one and only Optimus Solo.
You got it right.
Yeah, but I had to throw mine in first, because if you have to be the one and only, I am the fucking great one.
And everyone will know which one of those is an accurate prefix.
The one and only, yes. Today we are going to find out all about the Prince of Egypt. So what have you been up to, sir?
Good God, that's a loaded question. What have I been up to? Let's see here. Catching up on a lot of TV programs, finally. Let's see. Recently we had Thanksgiving and my birthday, both consecutive days.
Yep.
And I was able to, with the presence and whatnot, assistance from my family, finally able to get to my my big screen TV.
Sweet.
So I have a 55-inch LED TV in my living room now. So
awesome.
That is ridiculously awesome. Which meant that I had to... Well, right before that, I had changed my cable package because I was paying way too much for cable, so I had downgraded to like more of a basic package.
Right.
And for some reason, when I did that, all my channel numbers like that I had set for DVR recordings... The numbers changed, and it said that I was still recording all the shows, but it wasn't because it was on the wrong channel. So I had to go back through and reprogram it all. And then I got the new TV, which means that it's all HD now, so I had to get the HD channels as the ones that are recording. So like two or three times in a week, I had to reprogram my DVR so that all my series would still record. So that was fun. Let's see, doing a lot of catching up with TV programs. Trying to get some blogs done for Geekcast Radio, doing some minor things here and there for behind the voice actors, working 1,000 hours a week, and yeah,
that Pizza the Hut really works you to the bone.
They do. And looking for a new job and all kinds of fun stuff.
Awesome.
Watching a lot of He-Man.
Yeah, we are getting further and further along in our journey telling tales of Eternia over there.
Going to lots of movies.
Yep.
Getting ready for the end of the 2012 year and all the different review type things.
Oh, yeah.
And then turning around and getting ready for some new awards for 2012 for behind the voice actors and whatnot.
Cool. Yeah, me, I've been getting a bunch of podcasts and stuff done. We're still going on with MR's Bond Month. That'll be going on up till Christmas Day. Christmas Day, everybody's going to get the Skyfall review. So that'll be pretty awesome. Working on Tooncast Beyond's been off for a couple weeks. I just, at the time, didn't have the resources to be able to watch The Prince of Egypt, and I would rather, you know, wait and watch it than, you know, go off, you know, half-cocked with an opinion, because heaven forbid I make an opinion that is uninformed.
You never want to be half-cocked.
Shut up. So why don't you take it away? Okay, well, before we get into the history lesson, I want to give a little disclaimer here to everyone. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious, okay? When I was younger and I was living with my dad and my stepmom, they essentially forced me to go to church every Sunday. And before that, when I was living with my mom, Sundays were meant for sleeping in. That's what they were meant for.
That's Saturday.
No, Saturday's cartoons, dummy. Get it right.
Okay.
You know, so I never really, like, and just for me personally, on a personal note, church to me, just being there and just having to sit through it is just very boring to me. I do have my own personal relationship with God and all that stuff, but, you know, movies like this or, you know, stuff like, the closest thing that I've ever gotten to watching religious programming was a couple of McGee and Me episodes. I love McGee and Me. Maybe we should do a DeLorean time on McGee and Me, even though it's not technically full-on animation. But...
Yeah, the only cartoons I ever remember being somewhat religiously loosely based, or maybe some not so loosely based, was the McGee and Me, and then the whole Flying House and the Superbook, which were kind of like early anime exposures. But there have been a few movies here and there that have tried to delve into the subject matter.
Right, exactly. And my whole point of this disclaimer is that this was the first time I had ever seen this movie. The only reason why I had never seen it up till now is because it was telling a religious story, and I usually step away from religion altogether. When it comes to media, I would rather watch, you know, anything else. So why don't you take it away with the history lesson, history man?
All right, The Prince of Egypt was a 1998, good lord, that seems like just yesterday, but that was a long time ago now.
Long ass time ago.
Almost 15 years ago. 1998 American animated musical drama film, and the first traditionally animated film produced and released by DreamWorks Animation. The film is an adaptation of the Book of Exodus and follows the life of Moses from being a prince of Egypt to his ultimate destiny to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. The film was directed by Brenna Chapman, Simon Wells, and Steve Hickner. Featured songs written by Stephen Schwartz and score composed by Hans Zimmer. And we will get into the voice cast later, but it did feature a number of Hollywood actors speaking roles, and some professional singers that did stuff for songs, and some of the actors that did their own songs. So yeah, that's what the movie was about. And we'll get into the grossing and how much it made and some of the awards a little bit later.
When did you first see this? I mean, I already pretty much said that I had only seen this about 2 weeks ago, but when was the first time you had seen this?
I did not see it in the theater. This was kind of after the stage. There was I don't know, I've kind of mentioned this on other shows, but after what I kind of like to call the resurgence of the Disney animated film with Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, Aladdin, and Lion King, after those four, I really kind of stepped away from animated movies. I don't know if it was just because I was getting to, you know, the 15, 16 years old by that point into high school, and I just got interested in other things. I don't know. I know Party of Five took over my life there for a while. So I don't know what it was.
You wish to take over your life.
I wish I could have been in that life.
Yes.
Anyway. So some plethora of reasons steered me away from animated movies, which would have been the time period that this, you know, like Hercules, Pocahontas,
right,
all those things came out. So I kind of missed all those. I didn't go see any of them in the theater. Actually, I would guess that Lion King was the last animated movie I saw in the theater until probably, gosh, close to like just recent, within the last 5 years, with like Despicable Me and a couple others that I finally saw in the theater. So there was a good probably 10 years that I didn't see any animated movies in the theater. Somewhere along the line, I don't know if it was on TV, if it was a DVD that somebody got. I don't know if it was at a family gathering or where, but I do remember seeing it somewhere. My memory is not real clear on where or who I was with. I do remember being somewhat impressed. The animation is the style of animation that I prefer. I like it. You know, it's not that cheap, crappy animation that we see in a lot of cartoons of that same time period. It's more right. So animation that reminds you of the Disney stuff, obviously DreamWorks, Disney Connection, et cetera. But, so I remember visually thinking it was cool. You know, the story is the story that I already knew. So, I mean, it wasn't like it was going to surprise me or anything, but I did like seeing kind of their interpretation of it and the different voices that it's one of those things, like, it's not just like with Bible stories. It could be anything, like maybe books that a lot of schools make you read, like novels or whatever. I'm just trying to think of stuff like right off the top. Like, I remember we had to read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe in school. You know, we probably had to read, like, I don't know, Old Yeller, or, you know, right. Just like the standard novels that you read. You're familiar with the story, but to me, it's a cool thing when you get to see and put like visuals and voices and characters to the stuff that you've previously just read with words on a page. Mm-hmm. So I kind of always like to see that interpretation and hear the voices and see how they do it and what they look like and everything. So I remember thinking it was cool. It wasn't something that I like had to run out and buy. It wasn't something that I was like engrossed over. It was just something I kind of watched and thought it was cool. And I didn't really realize any of the significance about it or any like the, some of the trivia that we'll get to a little bit later, but you know, it kind of reminded me of those old those Disney films. So I kind of liked it.
Yeah. You know, when I watched it back, you know, like I said, I was watching it for the very first time. I'd never seen it before. And I went in with an open mind. I mean, I kind of knew the story of Moses. You know, I grew up, my mom was Roman Catholic. So, I mean, you know, I knew most of the main Bible stories that everybody knows, that, you know, everybody is grown up and taught and all that stuff. And I was like, how are they going to make a film out of this story? I was like, oh, they're really going to make a film out of this story. But it was damn good. The animation was great. You know, it was very, very fluid animation. I really, really liked that about it. The voice cast is superb. I almost didn't recognize one voice actress. Overall, I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really, really good film.
Well, you mentioned the voice cast, which kind of goes right into the characters and the who's who, so to speak. Very interesting collection of people here.
Yes.
The reason I say that is because you have not just Hollywood actors here, but you have Hollywood actors that were known at that time. Remember, this is 1998.
Yeah.
That were known for a lot of different genres and different things. I mean, on one hand, you have Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Hold on. You have, oh my God. You've got the father of the bride in Frank.
Yeah. God. But I mean, seriously, you got some people known for comedy as Steve Martin and Martin Short. And then you go to all the way to the other extreme and you have people like Helen Mirren and Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
Who are, you know, as serious and dramatic actors as you can get. Then you have Patrick Stewart, who at the time was, you know, Star Trek sci-fi type person. Michelle Pfeiffer, who's just kind of like, you know, a very popular actress at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, not to mention some awesome Jeff Goldblum, Val Kilmer, Danny Glover. I mean, and Sandra Bullock. I mean, it's just a weird collection of people, but it worked.
Yeah, it was. I found it really weird that Val voiced both Moses and God, because it was almost like he was having a conversation with himself.
Well, and there's something behind that.
Okay.
Originally, they were let me find it, because I wrote this down as a note because I didn't want to say this the wrong way. The voice of God, to avoid controversy in the beginning, was played by all of the actors. And the actors were all told to kind of whisper their lines so that no one would be able to tell who was who.
Right.
So it was supposed to be kind of this group voice thing.
Right.
But they kind of, just as that happened, started liking the way Val Kilmer was doing it. So, and they realized that someone needed to be louder instead of having everybody whisper. There's some scenes that I guess you're supposed to still be able to hear the whole cast kind of underneath Kilmer's lines. But, yeah, it was just kind of a situation where they eventually liked the way he was doing it. But, yeah, you're right. When Moses and God are talking, it's Val Kilmer talking to himself.
Yeah, that just kind of threw me off a bit.
And, at one point it was supposed to be that originally, like, or even before that, they were going to have, like, a woman and a child's voice would be used as well. But they thought that might offend some people, so. Craziness. But I do like the fact, just kind of looking overall, I like any time Patrick Stewart does a voice, but I thought it was perfect that he was the Pharaoh. I thought it just fit very well with that, and I really liked Ralph Fiennes as Ramses. So I thought those two were two that I kind of was drawn to, and I thought Val Kilmer did a good job of not necessarily making it obvious that it was Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still kind of tell if you know, but like,
right.
He's had some roles where you'd be like, oh, that's Val Kilmer right away, and he kind of downplayed it a little bit for this.
Well, yeah, he downplayed it a bit for this, but again, the Moses character is nothing like Iceman. Or, you know,
Doc Holliday. Or Doc... from Tombstone.
Yeah, Tombstone, yeah. You know, the Moses character, I would say, is more in line with what he played... I believe that same year, it was either that same year or a year after, and I think it was a year later in 1999, he played, Vincent in At First Sight with Mira Sorvino, so, you know, I consider those two, you know, as far as his vocals, I consider those two to be more similar than, you know, comparing Moses to say, like, you know, like you said, Iceman or Doc Holliday or something like that.
Right.
Overall, I love the voice cast. At first, I didn't even recognize Michelle Pfeiffer's voice. I did not recognize it, really.
Yeah.
And Sandra Bullock, that's, you know, that's a no-brainer. I mean, you know, as soon as you hear her, you know, you can't unhear. Yeah, but you're right. Patrick Stewart as the Pharaoh, that was great. Helen Mirren as his wife, that was also great. Again, Steve Martin and Martin Short as the two goofballs. That's still so weird to me.
And apparently, while professional singers replaced a lot of them, Michelle Pfeiffer, Ralph Fiennes, Steve Martin and Martin Short sang their own parts.
I think Bullock did too. I think that was her singing voice that I heard. Could have sworn it was her.
So some of them were replaced and some of them were not.
Right, yeah. But overall, I love the voice cast in this. It's very, very
for
awesome.
For being completely filled with, like, celebrity Hollywood voice actors, it wasn't, like, just people for the sake of having names. I know there's a lot of famous names there, but they're also people that are good actors.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? It's not like we're just going to throw, you know...
We're just going to throw a Chris Rock at
you. Yeah, we're just going to throw Vin Diesel in there because everybody knows who Vin Diesel is. Or someone like that. These are people that can actually still do the part. So usually when you have a whole Hollywood cast like this, it's not as good as far as the quality of voice acting. But this is an exception where it's a Hollywood cast that still pulled it off perfectly.
Mm. Yep, exactly. Do we want to give a brief synopsis of the plot for those who have not seen this?
Well, I mean, it is the Moses story. I know some people might not know what happened there, but basically, you know, in order to save his life, because all the newborn sons were supposed to be killed, Moses' mom tries to save him by putting him in a basket, setting it afloat in the Nile River, and he ends up with the Egyptian queen at the time, who takes him under her wing. They raise him as their own. You know, he is rising up through the ranks of the Egyptians. Eventually, basically kills. I mean, depends if we want to go to the movie version or the Bible version. But some stuff happens.
Yeah.
Where someone dies and he basically runs away, reunites with his family, and, you know, comes into contact with God, and he is chosen to go back into Egypt to free his people. And he has to deal with, you know, trying to get the Pharaoh to release his people and the Pharaoh refusing and all the different plagues and eventually the, you know, the journey out and the parting of the Red Sea, et cetera, et cetera. as he and his people make it out of Egypt and towards the promised land. Mm. So, I mean, that's the basic synopsis to avoid getting into detail.
Right, right, without having to have it long drawn out.
The only issues plot-wise, mm-hmm. As far as inconsistencies with the actual account,
mm-hmm.
Just to list those so we can touch on those, there's some short differences between the movie and the actual Book of Exodus.
Okay.
Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, not his wife.
Okay.
Moses murdered the Egyptian slave master, did not kill him by accident. Obviously, they couldn't do that in the end.
The DreamWorks movie.
The DreamWorks movie, but he, in the Bible, murders the Egyptian slave master. Aaron supported Moses from the beginning. He'd never doubted Moses. And it was Aaron who turned his staff into a snake and turned the water of the Nile to blood, not Moses.
Oh.
So there was just a couple little things that they changed for the movie. Not that they were major issues. I guess the biggest one might be adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, not his wife, or the fact that he killed the slave master instead of accidentally, you know, that it was premeditated type thing. But yeah, other than that, the plot's pretty true to the Book of Exodus. And I think it was a fairly well, for, you know, as far as this being for kids, I thought it was a pretty good job of telling the story and making it, you know, somewhat fast-paced and entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it dragged or you know, you viewed it easier than you would have read it.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
And so I don't know. I have no problem really with the actual way that they did it.
I don't either. I thought it was great. I realized it in hindsight, but at first when I was first watching, I'm like, ooh, so that's the Red Sea, but of course it's actually the Nile. You know, because you think when you hear the name the Red Sea, you think that it's supposed to be red.
Black Sea.
Of course, that might be a Jim Carrey tomato soup joke that I'm remembering.
But yeah, I mean, that's the basic, as far as if we're just talking about the plot and the story. You know, I thought it was good, well animated, well voiced. The story flowed well. There wasn't anything I would really consider too ugly about anything, is it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was an overall, it was a good story. It was a nice adaptation of the Book of Exodus version. And like you said, they had to change some stuff because, you know, you can't have, you know, Moses murdering somebody in a DreamWorks movie. I don't think a DreamWorks movie has ever gotten above PG.
Yeah.
You know, so there's that. Where do we want to start with the behind-the-scenes stuff?
Well, there's some interesting stuff here, starting with the fact that why it's a DreamWorks picture, first of all. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's coming from Jeffrey Katzenberg, who we all know is a former Disney chairman. He wanted mm-hmm. to do an animated adaptation of The Ten Commandments. And while working at Disney, he suggested it multiple times to Michael Eisner, and Eisner refused. I even read at one point that I thought I had a number, but he basically constantly was pitching this idea, and Michael Eisner didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Right.
So, the idea for the film was brought back at the formation of DreamWorks when Katzenberg's partner, Amblin Entertainment founder Steven Spielberg, and music producer David Geffen were meeting in Spielberg's living room. And Katzenberg apparently recalled that Spielberg looked at him during the meeting and said, "You ought to do the Ten Commandments," which basically reignited his old desire to make an animated adaptation of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was where it started, and that's why it was kind of a DreamWorks thing. Couple of things that they did to try to ensure accuracy and whatnot. They brought in, I want to say, like hundreds of religious experts to try to make sure they weren't offending people, to try to make sure they made it as accurate as possible according to the book. So they did their homework as far as trying to get accuracy down.
Right.
So
what I love about this, as far as behind the scenes stuff, there's a section in here. There are 1,192 scenes in the film, and 1,180 of them have special effects in them. These special effects were elements such as wind blowing or environmental features such as dust or rainwater. There were also effects designed in terms of lighting and cast shadows and images to a given scene. In the end, these effects helped the animators graphically illustrate the scenes such as the Ten Plagues and the Parting of the Red Sea. That's almost 1,200 scenes in a film. Holy crap. That's a lot of scenes.
Yeah.
There were approximately 934 hand-painted backgrounds that were created.
Right.
Wow. Takes a lot to make an animated movie.
Yeah.
At least one of this magnitude.
No, I agree. And, you know, we talked about the voice of God, and then that's kind of a little bit of behind the scenes as far as how they came to that, so we won't talk about that again. You know, the music was important to this. Like, I'm not going to put it on par with like Disney music or whatnot, but they did go make a very strong effort to have some strong musical undertones, background, soundtrack, songs, etc.
I will say that's the one, if I didn't like one scene out of the entire film, the one where Martin and Short, Steve Martin and Martin Short are singing the when Moses shows up with the staff.
Yeah.
And then they go into that was the one musical number out of the entire movie that I could have done without.
There were some big names that they brought in to do some of the tracks besides the ones that were done by the actors or other people. We had Casey and JoJo, Boyz II Men, Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, Babyface, and Amy Grant. So they got some big star power to do some of these songs. I think the biggest probably would be
Whitney.
When You Believe.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston. That was the biggest song that I can remember from there.
Yeah, most definitely.
But, you know, there was definitely some good music. You know, like I said, it's not for me as memorable as some of the Disney stuff that came right before that, but it still held its own with as far as songs and soundtrack goes.
Right.
Yeah. One more behind-the-scenes thing that I wanted to mention before we got too much further. This, at the time, was the most expensive animated feature ever made.
That doesn't surprise me.
So maybe having to do with some of that stuff that you were just talking about as far as the
scenes and the effects and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it does not surprise me that this movie was very, very, very expensive because it looks so, like, the final product looks so, so polished. Like, I know a lot of people like seeing featurettes of, you know, like animatics and, you know, stuff like that and how the final product is made. I prefer to just see a final product because the animatics to me, as well as they are, and, you know, in the drawings as well as they are done, I can't get into that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It only held that title of being the most expensive animated feature ever made for about 3 years, though.
Yeah.
It was beaten out by, this is kind of shocking to me, Final Fantasy The Spirits Within.
Ugh, really?
It's a more expensive animated feature, apparently.
Wow. Well, features today are, you know, I mean,
oh, yeah,
you
it's
know,
easily beaten
compared
by
to
day.
15 years ago, Toy Story 3, Wreck-It Ralph, I'm sure, was really expensive to make.
How about the fact that since Val Kilmer played both Moses and God, he basically did the same thing Charlton Heston did in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And that's kind of awesome. But at this, okay, now, again, I'm not trying to be anti-religious here or anything, but I'm just saying here, with this whole conversation between Moses and God, would you think it's, you know, in today's society, that might be, he's a crazy person. He's talking to himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they're the same voice. I don't know. We want to get into the box office.
Sure. Basically, on its opening weekend, the film grossed $14 million, earning second place at the box office behind You've Got Mail, which was obviously very popular in 1998. Yes. Due to the holiday season, the film gained 4% in its second weekend, earning $15 million and finishing in fourth place. It would hold well in the third weekend with only a 25% drop, blah, blah, blah. Basically closed with $101 million in the domestic U.S. box office.
Yeah,
It was a box office success. I mean, it covered the $70 million production budget easily.
Yeah. Oh, most it essentially quadrupled it.
Yeah.
With the worldwide total, I mean, $218 million.
Right.
You know, that's pretty amazing.
So it was a pretty successful film there.
Yes, it was. So we are the IGN replacement crew. For those of you who don't know about this, one is don't watch this even if it's free. Two is worth a watch if it's free on TV. Three is worth adding to the Netflix list. And four is this one's a must add to your DVD collection. For me, I rented it on iTunes. It's not a movie that I would go back and watch maybe more than once every couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But it is it is good enough for me to go ahead and give it a four because, I mean, you know, especially if you're a DreamWorks film collector, if you're going to, you know, go out there and get either your favorite DreamWorks movies or if you're going to be a completionist and get them all, I give this a four.
If I was just to go strictly, like, if you're just a casual fan, I could mm-hmm. see this just being like a three or so, you know, something you should watch or whatnot. If you're an animation buff or if you're, you know, a big time fan of, you know, animated movies in general, this has some significance. Being as expensive as it was to make at the time, being the impact it had via DreamWorks, being probably the, you know, one of the most successful religious animated movies of all time, you know, it had a lot of significance there. So for that reason, I would say that it's worth adding to your collection if you are an animated movie buff. Otherwise, I could see it being a three where it's just, you know, something that you should watch maybe once every so often. It's worth a watch. It's good enough. It's not something that's going to, that most people would dislike, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting into the legacy segment with the DVD releases, it is on DVD. I don't know if it's got a Blu-ray release or not. I'm not looking at any information, but obviously it's on DVD. Like I said, I rented it myself on iTunes. You can either rent or purchase it there in standard or high definition.
Yeah.
As far as some reviews, Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times praised the film in his review, saying The Prince of Egypt is one of the best-looking animated films ever made. It employs computer-generated animation as an aid to traditional techniques as well, rather than substitute for them. We sense a touch of human artists in the vision behind the Egyptian monuments and lonely desert vistas and thrill of the chariot race. So, yay, Ebert liked it.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 79%, which is pretty good. Metacritic gave it a 64, which is okay. Yeah. But it usually gets fairly decent reviews.
Right.
You know, I haven't seen a lot of negative reviews on this one. And it did win some awards.
It was nominated for a bunch, but it won one. Won Best Original Song for When You Believe.
Yeah, it was nominated for Best Animated Feature for an Academy Award. Best Original Score, Directing, Storyboarding, some stuff like that. Golden Globe got nominated for Best Original Score and Best Original Song. So like I said, the music was not bad. That's probably what it got its most acclaim for, was music and then a little bit for the effects, which seems like it was deserved. Mm-hmm. Since it had so much effect, you know, visual effects and stuff like that. But I should say that all of the reviews, positive, we're talking domestic.
Yes, domestic reviews, because apparently in two countries, The Prince of Egypt was banned.
Yes.
Where the population is predominantly Muslim, the Maldives and Malaysia, because depiction in the media of Islamic prophets, among which Moses is counted, is forbidden in Islam. The Supreme Council of Islamic Affairs in the
Maldives
stated all prophets and messengers of God are revered in Islam and therefore cannot be portrayed. Following this ruling, the censor board banned the film in January 1999. In the same month, the film censorship board in Malaysia banned the film but did not provide a specific explanation. The board secretary said that the censor body ruled and the film was insensitive for religious and moral reasons.
So, yeah, of course you're going to have some people that have a problem with it being it's religious content, but whatever.
Yeah. I didn't even know about this, though. Apparently there's a prequel.
Yes.
November 2000, DreamWorks Animation released Joseph, King of Dreams, a direct-to-video prequel based on the story of Joseph from the Book of Genesis.
Yes, sir. I'm trying to remember if I've seen that one or not.
I know I haven't.
Hold on a second. Joseph, King of Dreams. Oh, I have seen that, actually. And there's also some interesting voice actors in that, including Mark Hamill, Ben Affleck, Jodie Benson, who did Ariel and Little Mermaid, Jess Harnell, Dan Castellaneta, Jeff Bennett. So there's some good voice work in that one as well. It's very similar as far as the look of it, the animation. I don't know if it has as strong of music as
background.
Yeah, and songs as this one did, but it's a good sequel to this. So if you watch this one and you like it,
or prequel,
prequel. I mean, if you watch this one and like the Prince of Egypt, then it's worth checking out the other one, Joseph, King of Dreams.
So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back to close the show.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
2012 marks the 30th anniversary for Masters of the Universe. We here at the GCRN are celebrating with a brand new series of podcasts. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of every MOTU cartoon. Yes, even that crappy New Adventure stuff. Join Optimus Solo and TFG1 Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally, masters of Grayskull. You can find the Pogs podcasts in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Good journey!
Welcome to my throne room, Future Tales. The Beast Unleashed podcast is over, not gone. You can hear more of this great podcast discussing all the episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines on GeekCastRadio.com. We include voice actor and writer interviews with stellar hosting by Steve, Mike, and Michael. Head on over to iTunes, or the net, or else I will send you my vehicles to extract your spark and destroy you. Yes.
Is this thing on? Oh, goody. Why, hello there. It's your dear old Uncle Joker here. I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here, of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by Geekcast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the bat was so popular? Ugh. Join Steve, Mike, and sometimes Tara for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Clown after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next Geekcast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
For the listeners of TuneCast Beyond, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Use audibletrial.com/geekcastradio. Final thoughts on The Prince of Egypt, sir?
You know, it's not something that I remembered significantly from my teenage years, but like I said, I think it has a lot of significance as far as its place in animated movie history, especially for DreamWorks.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's worth a watch. I think it's a good movie. I think it was well done, well acted. The music was good enough to, you know, good enough to win some awards. And The visuals were stunning. I like this type of animation. I thought it was very well done. It, you know, for a story that could drag on at times if you were to tell it verbatim, I thought it did a good job with its pacing. So I think it's worth a watch.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree. It's, you know, everybody should at least watch this once, you know, just so you can say that you watched it. And, you know, as we already said, the animation was superb. The voice cast was great. I absolutely love the movie. I didn't know if I was going to like it or not when I originally started watching it, because those first beginning scenes were just kind of like dragging on for me, and I was like, huh. But as it went on, it just kind of sped up, and I was like, oh, okay, this is pretty cool. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast Beyond. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on each and every episode post. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Send us email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is TuneCast Beyond. Mine is TF2R Mike. What is your Twitter?
Optimus Solo.
You can also follow @GeekCastRadio for all the other network updates. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving a message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast Beyond. I wish you'll join us next time when we'll be jumping into the DeLorean once again. We'll be heading back to 1984 with the Get Along Gang,
yes,
one of your favorites.
Get Along Gang, Get Along Gang.
Too sugary. For now, I am TF2R Mike.
The one and only Optimus Solo.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Second born, second place.
Not for long.